I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Born March 25th in Worcester, Massachusetts, he is a stand-up comedian who has built a career with such specials as No Refunds, Beer Hall Putsch, No Place Like Home, and Last of a Dying Breed, as well as writing such books as Digging Up Mother and This Is Not Fame. And tonight, you can see him live on stage for one show only at the Improv. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Doug Stanhope.
Mr. Doug Stanhope, hurtling towards...
I want to know why that woman was laughing when she talked about men dying at an early age.
Because I'm surrounded by all these D's.
She'd be canceled. If I said women were dying, I laughed.
It's true.
Women are dying younger than ever. I'm trying to get canceled, Johnny. That's my whole mission on this tour, because I loved COVID so much. It was such a beautiful sabbatical that I just want to get canceled now. But I'm not famous enough, so you have to pump up my numbers and get me canceled so I can go back to COVID lifestyle.
You know what? I believe that, because you have this incredible gift and this way of seeing the world and this way of venting this vengeance upon the people. But yet I know that you don't want to spend the time with them. Like, it's not your thing. Like, you're not, listen, nobody's ever looked at you and said, Doug Stanhope, you're a people person.
It's not even about the people. It's about not working for a year and a half. I haven't, not since, I'm a 54-year-old man. I have not spent a year in the same bed since I was a teenager.
Right. Yeah, no, you know, that's hard for most people to get. Like, to me, I think I love working, I love projects, I love to do stuff, but I'm also not forced to go to a different city and stay there and live in a weird bed and crap hotel rooms and be lonely all the time.
Yeah, you get no time off. It's not like... Did you do anything remotely for a while?
No. I hate that. I hate the idea of doing remote stuff. Like, just, you know, not looking at each other, not understanding. You know, like, to me, you know, it's there's 5 guys in here. If you can't see them, and for God's sake, if they can't see me flip them off or shake my fist at them, what good is any of it then? You know, I hate the idea of working from home. Like, you're a solo performer where, you know, you create, like, being inside your own head only turns out more incredible material. But for me, it just makes me masturbate. And then I get to the weird end of, I start to see videos I've already seen on Pornhub with different titles, and it freaks me out.
Oh, that's the best.
That's awful feeling.
I think that's where my act is going to wind up, is on Pornhub.
You should have a Pornhub sponsorship for sure.
The last bastion of freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be comedy. Now I think it's going to be porn. I think I'll talk about that tonight on stage here at the Improv when we get to your town.
Tell me this. What is it that I think it's an obvious idea, but I don't remember anybody else doing it like this, like just hitting the club and then leaving.
Well, first of all, I don't think, except for a few rare occasions, I haven't worked weekends on this tour. And I always said, before I quit comedy altogether and commit suicide, I'm just going to work, weekdays. Because I'm trying so hard not to swear.
Listen, if it slips, we got 3 dump buttons. We can handle it.
Dumbheads go out on Friday, Saturday. especially where improvs are located, because they're all in these weird adult destination malls.
Right.
And they right. attract the dumbheadestes of people. But, yeah, anyway, if you can go out and get drunk on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you've lived your life right. Yeah. Or your service industry, and I can hang with you.
You know what? That's so genuinely honest and absolutely true. You're right. It's all first dates and S-heads on the weekend, but if you're the kind of person that can literally, you're right, go out and get hammered on a Tuesday, you're a Stanhope fan. And if you're not and you still go to the Stanhope show, then you're a double Stanhope fan who's willing to take the consequences the next day.
Exactly.
I love it.
And it's made the road. I've only been out for 2 months now. It's made the road so much better to avoid weekends. Don't do merch booths. No shaking palms like a politician after the show. No, let's go get drunk.
You know, I've been on the bench for 2.5 months, almost 3 months now. Not by choice, by force. Because that when I ended up in the hospital like 3 months ago with the pancreatitis at the acute onset, like.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So I get hammered by this. It just comes on. They don't know why. And it lands me in there for like 9 days on morphine and fentanyl. And then they pull my gallbladder out and they tell me they can't tell me why. And he's like, you need to lay off the booze for like 2 or 3 months. And I'm like, okay, I'm off for four. We'll just take down and set a breather. So this is, I had a sober birthday for the first time since I was probably 15. I went to Sturgis completely sober. I went on a couple week-long motorcycle rides completely sober. I was like, this is crazy.
Wait, they told you have to sober up while you're on morphine and fentanyl? That's a great way to tell you the news.
Well, it doesn't seem so bad when you're that high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had the morphine pump where you get to hit the button every 10 minutes?
No.
It's like, it's,
no, I've so oddly good. Never been seriously ill with this lifestyle, and it's baffling.
Oh, God bless you. I've never been in a hospital overnight since I was probably 8 years old. And it was I was literally at home, and my stomach started to hurt, and then it really started to hurt, and then I thought, dude, I'm dying right now. And I got in my car and drove to North Kansas City, it's like 20-some miles away, because I have a friend or a couple friends who are surgeons. And so I knew they wouldn't stuff me into an ER and let me sit there forever. The second I rolled in, he was like, oh, Jesus Christ, dude, this is not for me. Like, I end up, you know, CAT scans, MRIs, like, they're, I mean, within 2 hours, I was already in a bed, already been scanned. I'm asking him, is this cancer? Am I going to be tossed here? And he's like, I don't know until I open the whole thing up, and nobody's going to know. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, it was quite a grip.
And that was when?
Second week in July.
Oh, and so are you counting down the days till you have a cocktail again?
Yes.
Are you just trying to fake another pancreatitis so you can get back on the morphine?
Now, the morphine was a hoot, but, it's such a fantastically weird drug, and I've done a lot of drugs. So I have the ability, like you, to do drugs, be super high, and still keep that other part of your brain that goes, hey, then, you know this is just drugs, right? So if you hallucinate or things get weird, you have that other part that goes, you know what this is. Just relax and let it enjoy the ride. So I'm in there, and I realized at some point after being on morphine and fentanyl cycle for 5 or 6 days, I'm talking my thoughts. I'll be thinking something and start saying them out loud to nobody in the room. Then my dog, who'd passed away the year before, pops up on my bed, and I'm petting him, Barger, and I'm telling him, good boy. And it's so tragically terrible. I'm going, good boy. And it's really comforting. I know it's a hallucination, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm like, good boy, buddy, good boy. And the nurse walks in, and she hears me saying, good boy, and moving my left hand on an imaginary dog. And I go, and the thing kicks in, and I go, he's not really here. I know he's not here. He died. And then I just start crying in the middle of this bed. And I know I'm crying, and I cannot stop myself from doing it for this goddamn nurse.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, it was great. It was so terrible and tragic and hilarious at the same time. I'm myself, like, just, I could just, I literally standing outside of the situation, watching it from the other side of the room in my head, just going, Jesus Christ, get it together, you maniac.
Yeah, Bingo's, my wife has prescribed Seroquel, and occasionally I'll dabble in some of her Seroquel, which is like a serenity prayer in pill form.
Yeah.
And I'll have lucid dreams like that where I go, oh, I know this is a dream, so I'm going to go ahead and punch him in the face. So there's no repercussions.
Yeah.
I'm jumping off this building. I know I can fly.
Oh, so much fun. So much weirdness in there. And so it's not bad. It's not fun. You realize I'm a lot more intolerant of human beings sober than I ever imagined I would be.
Wait, you mean all human beings?
No,
while
just
you're sober, not sober yeah, human beings.
Yeah, no. When I'm sober, yes. When I'm just like you're in a bar and you're like, my God, it's like goon hour in a mentally handicapped village.
Oh, yeah, no, drunk people are intolerable, even most when I'm drinking, even, because most of them suck at it. I've been drunk long enough that I think I pull it off pretty sweet every time.
Yeah.
When I flew to Chicago, I'm like, I should probably not be able to be on this plane, much less served more, but I'm really good at it.
That's right, dude. I've given this speech to people. I'm like, look, man, if you're going to drink like an a-hole, then you shouldn't drink. If you can drink like a professional and keep it together and be an enjoyable human being, then continue on. But nobody wants to be with I want to fight you, I'm going to cry, are we best friends, and then you vomit in my car, dick.
Conversely, there's also the problem of being too good of a drunk where you don't have the excuse the next day where you go, yeah, I said that to you, but I was hammered. They go, you didn't seem hammered at all. I'm good at it. I still told you honesties that I probably should have kept to myself.
Uh-huh. The apology tour. I've done a few next morning apology tours.
Junior Stopka. I don't know if you've met Junior yet. He's on tour with me. He's one of my favorite comics of all time, and he has a bit where he goes, that's my favorite part about drinking, is the next day sober apology. Sorry I told you exactly what I think about you last night.
It's true. It's true, man. Well, the old saying, a drunk man speaks a sober man's thoughts, and it does get right out of you sometimes. If you're just joining the show, Doug Stanhope, the great Doug Stanhope. Now, listen, he played last night. He got in a car, drove straight to Kansas City. He's going to crash for a few hours. Theoretically, and then at the Improv tonight, which it will be a sellout. It will be hardcore Stanhope fans. If you've seen, you know, any of the specials from Sicko to Deadbeat Hero to Beer Hall Push to the Last of a Dying Breed, if you've seen him tell the Aristocrats joke online or the podcast you've heard or read any of the books, you know.
You don't need my credits. If you don't know me by now, you don't belong. But you don't need new fans.
But you know, honestly, I was talking about this earlier. As much as I learned.
I am so actually, for the first time I've ever said this on your show, I love what I'm doing on stage right now.
Excellent.
I think that part of it has to do with the fact that I've been off for a year and a half, so there's no material that I'm sick of.
Right. Right, yeah.
Generally, you know, after 30 years in comedy, you're like, oh, I got to plow through this bit again. Now it's all fun and fresh and new to me and new to you, and I'm enjoying doing comedy again.
You have that gift. You know this about me. Like I'm a super fan in the sense of that I'm a huge fan of the way you write books to the point where it rivals your stand-up to me because, you know, when no encore or This Is Not Fame or Digging Up Mother, like it has that Hunter S. Thompson Gonzo sensibility, but with the Doug Stanhope, that Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, great hypocrisy killer. And it's one of my favorite things to read. And I genuinely, like, that's my escape, man, books like that.
Well, you need a lot more escapes now. That
it's true.
You're off the sauce.
Listen, I identified you.
You might not be a friend of Bill W., but you're in an adjacent room.
Tell me this. Is it true you got a school counselor wanted to toss you because he saw your books you were drawing? That's a true story, right?
No, didn't want to toss me. I had to go into a psychologist.
Yeah.
I was doing stuff that and this is sixth grade, where I would have been in an asylum. Like, I would have been locked up right now, like a school shooter. Like, oh, we found his plans. Yeah, I was planning.
Yeah.
I'd write like graphic pictures. I would draw pictures of blowing up my English teacher's house because she was on my paper route. I knew where she lived, so I'd draw pictures of her house with fake bombs underneath it, because she'd always catch me doodling, so I was waiting for her to catch me. Right now, so I would have been locked up and put away for that.
Yeah,
I was just mischievous and a smartass.
Isn't it crazy that kids, and that really is, I do think, what's happening. I was talking to a kid the other day, high school level, and I was like, look, here's the one thing you got to remember. This is not the end of your life. You are forced geographically to hang out with this room full of dicks. As soon as you're out of here, you can become whoever you want to be, hang with whoever you want, and find the people that you really like. I go, so don't get caught up in, this is so terrible. You're right, it is terrible. You're forced to shower in front of strangers. And
We're going to go into this at length tonight. I don't want to burn half my act, but the entire idea that school even exists when your child has ultimate knowledge at his fingertips on Google at home, like the fact that he even goes to school is arcane and draconian. And yeah, we'll go into that at length.
Oh, dude,
yeah,
listen.
If you're a parent and you really believe in the system, don't come tonight because I'm going to shatter your illusions.
It's perfect because I feel the same way in so many ways. Once you have the basic understanding of reading, writing, you understand grammar, punctuation, and your solid math, what are you doing? Everything else is a voluntary thing to learn.
Yeah, and then you got that by second grade, and then you still have to spend 10 more years sitting 8 hours a day listening to nonsense that you have no interest in, and that's when you start loading guns and planning.
Yeah, it's true. It's in so many ways, man. I dropped out and I just went along my way because I had other things to do. But thank God, man. That's what I worry about with kids. It's not comedy. It's not where they get caught up in thinking that high school's real. And I'm like, it isn't real. These dudes are peaking early.
Yeah, if you were just learning what you wanted to learn on the internet, you would get straight A's because you would not be forced to algebra every day for a year. Come on.
Yeah, of course.
I'm planning a school shooting, and I'm the victim. I want to kill myself. Get me out of here.
Yeah, well, you'd think at least somebody would recognize the geometry it takes to plan something like that.
Yeah. No, there's never been a home school shooting.
Doug Stanhope's rolling into Kansas City. Are you? Did you make it to your room yet so you can crash, or are you still on the road?
We're shortly out of time. Woke up, I don't know. Junior's driving it. Scary.
That poor bastard.
He's got a 1992 Lincoln Town Car. So we drove from Chicago, and we're a few hours out. But I woke up to do your show, and I went, "Where am I?" I did that classic morning road thing.
Right.
I think I'm I have no idea where I am. And then I go, I don't remember where I was when we stopped. So it's okay.
Dude, it's the weirdest thing to travel like that. But I do think there's a strange Kerouac level romantic adventurism to the whole thing. Like for a while, I think it lasts like that. I mean, you slide into town, you people are happy. You say a bunch of crazy things like that they have to think about. And then you just ride off into the sunset as opposed to go sit in the room and wait 23 more or 22 more hours to come back.
You know who's coming tonight? I almost forgot. James Inman is doing a guest set.
Dude, let me tell you, James Inman, who I love.
Out of his mind.
He was the first person to throw up in front of me in a morning show. We were talking. I'm just learning how to do this. And James Inman is so rotted in the studio. He proceeds to just projectile vomit into a trash can on the microphone. And I'm about 3 seconds into my career at this time. He's a genuine maniac.
Oh, yeah, no, he's completely out of his mind. I was teasing him on Twitter. hey, I'm coming to Kansas City. I wish I knew any comic whatsoever that lives in Kansas City to do a guest set. Kind of just trolling him. And then he sends me like paragraph long hate mail with every you mother, you, I can't believe you. And I mean, Sands is a joke. I just, it's a joke. You want to do a guest set or not? Okay.
Yeah, there's no mercy, man. And Inman, he's so fantastically, sometimes so angry, always funny, and then you just never know what I'm going to get. He used to scare us to death. He'd walk in with those bloodshot, rheumy eyes, half a bloody nose, mouth, you know, bottom lip quivering, and you could never tell if it was rage or the beginning of vomit. He was just always ready for war. Yeah.
My wife has cancer, and I'm just stealing her pain pills, and I'm hungover. What?
Yeah, no, it'll be a great show tonight. It will not be for everybody. It will sell out. Look, get some rest, Stanhope, and die. Man, I hope to run into you soon. It's a weird world we're living in. I hope it breaks open and you get to tour more and do more. Just come back into a theater, man, where you can spend a day in.
There,
you know,
there is no cancel culture in my world. So come on, you can put your pants back on and come out to the show. You don't have to worry about anyone now.
The world needs you right now. You can't be canceled because you won't be canceled. You're exactly what this world needs. It's like a bourbon enema. That's what this world needs right now.
I'm putting that on my resume.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
A journalist in England called me a visionary douchebag. And I like bourbon enema right beside it.
I love you, brothers. All right, man. Take care of yourself.
All right, love you. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.